You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It's Anthony and Aurora, and we're back to talk more about The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, episode 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. We are almost done with this show, and having seen the little preview for episode 6, dare I say, I don't think we're going to just end this with one season of this show. It just
there's no way
impossible to wrap up everything so smoothly and so quickly. So this clearly feels like it's going to follow right along the lines of the Daryl Dixon and the Dead City show, and we are probably going to get more seasons of this. And the viewership for the shows have actually been pretty good, so I feel like this, it's basically a shoo-in that we're going to get more. But we shall see. Let's start with episode 4, called What We. After jumping from the helicopter, Rick and Michonne fall into a river outside of Greenwood, a community of innovators formed after the apocalypse. Well, not only is it a place that they started, but it's kind of a fancy place with modern amenities and power. However,
it's like a smart house. Really? A smart apartment.
It was kind of crazy to see it. however, Greenwood fell at some point, likely due to starvation, leaving it overrun with walkers. Michonne then proceeds to try and convince Rick to go back home with her, revealing that they have a son together named Rick Jr., which I could have swore Rick knew about, but I guess he didn't. But that was so long ago, you can't blame me. there's Walking Dead fans out there that are like, yes, we can. Aren't you a fan of this show? How come you don't remember? Rick still refuses to go back, telling her Jadis will kill everyone they know if they escape. They find out that the CRM helicopter that they were in crashed in the storm, giving them the perfect opportunity to escape, since the CRM will believe that Rick and Michonne had died in the crash as well. But Rick still says he's not going to go, intending to complete Okafor's mission to reform the CRM into something better. Michonne then decides to leave Rick behind, with Rick going after her shortly. God, who wrote that sentence? Wasn't me, everybody. I just read them. A CRM helicopter bombs the wreckage to destroy any evidence of the CRM's existence, trapping Rick and Michonne inside a collapsing building full of walkers. Rick and Michonne then slowly reconnect and have some intimate time with one another. After this, Michonne gets through to Rick, resulting in him admitting that he can't see Carl's face anymore due to his traumas, and that he's terrified to be with Michonne again, as Rick wouldn't survive losing her all over again. After Michonne gives Rick an iPhone engraved with Carl's portrait, she convinces Rick to come home with her. They escape as Greenwood collapses and take one of the community's hybrid vehicles, which has enough ethanol to get them back to Alexandria. Aurora, that was a whole lot. What did you make of episode 4?
Well, I don't know if this is like a controversial statement, what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But I absolutely love this episode, and it has now gone up to like my top 5 Walking Dead episodes of all time.
Top 5.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost like Claire is still up top.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to place this one under Claire, but it was, to me, an amazing episode. And I feel like at the like the first half of the episode, I was a little bit annoyed because I was like, how come Rick is so stubborn about this?
Yeah.
Like, you have kids out there. You have your partner here that came all the way here to get you and went through so much to get you. And you're still like, no, I'm staying. And I was like, I felt Michonne's anger.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment where she's just like, this is not how I pictured this going. Like, she was so disappointed as, you know, how he was reacting.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that all the years that she spent getting to Rick, she probably had this, you know, grand reunion in mind, and you know, he was gonna be overjoyed to see her and go, you know, run to the sunset with her.
Yeah.
And what's happening,
and he was to a degree,
right?
But he was also, you know, like you said, scared of
right
losing all of that. He knew what was on the line.
Yeah, but I was kind of annoyed a little bit. I was like, why is Rick so stubborn? But then the second half of the episode is where I was like, this is amazing. I love, my favorite scene is when they are in bed and she's like trying to get through him. And she's like, you have to share with me what they did to you. You have to let it out so that you can be free. Because he's like, something happened to him that he's just like not letting go. And that's how, you know, the whole I can't see Carl anymore thing happened. And
yeah.
He stopped seeing her for a while too, and he cannot go through that again. And I was like, that's amazing. And now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they did this conversation with the whole building collapsing, I love the analogy. I know that's what they're trying to do. I see you, Walking Dead. And the fact that, you know, after that, they escaped. I love how they escaped the building. It was amazing. And when they get on that electric car and drive away and the building behind them collapses completely, I was like, this episode is just the best.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
I thought for sure you were going to say, like, the internet really liked it and I didn't.
No, so it's the opposite.
Hard. Yeah. The internet is not a fan, huh?
No. No, they're not.
Wow. I really like this. I mean, it's not a top five episode for me, but I really liked it. I thought it was a really good episode.
Yeah.
So that's weird to hear. So they did something here that I can't tell if... I guess I simultaneously both love and loathe The Walking Dead for this, but every now and again, they hit upon some sort of like environmental storytelling. And they introduce us to a place in this case, this Greenwood place, where number one, I loved the environmental storytelling of it, because at first it's like a complete, I don't know, like a, almost like a culture shock sort of, for them to enter into this building and it lights up like Tony Stark's house with like a voice that's like, welcome home, sir.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh my God. And they've got like a Roomba, which to me is like, it now feels like old tech, but Michonne mentions like, those are just coming out like when everything happened. Mm-hmm, and I got, you know, I had one for like a minute. I'd sort of forgotten just how old this show is. So, of course, Rick would be freaked out by the moving disc on the floor. But it was so interesting to me that they created this space that, number one, was super intriguing and interesting to me. And I always love the when they do stuff like that, I guess. And it's really more of a me problem. And I'll freely admit to that. But the part that I sort of loathe is when they do a good enough job of it that I get interested, my next thought is always like, I wish I could know more about this place. And I know I'm never going to know anything else about this place, because that's not what the show is about. But I get fixated on stuff like that. And I think it's really, really fascinating that, because we've seen groups survive and thrive and create the old world in various interesting ways, but I've never seen one that did it quite to this level. Obviously, mm-hmm. they couldn't do it on like the scale of like the CRM or something, but
right.
on their smaller scale, this place felt more advanced than the CRM. Their only problem is that yeah. they couldn't cultivate crops well enough to be able to sustain their food. But other than that, I was yeah. just kind of amazed by all of it. I really loved the relationship story between them. Mm-hmm. I loved that because it wasn't really, I mean, obviously Rick did suffer trauma, but it wasn't really that the CRM specifically did anything to him. Jadis certainly did by
yeah.
telling yes. him about, like, you know, this is what's going to happen if you tell him about me or you escape, like, I'm going to tell him about you and everyone you love. Like, so she instilled that fear in him for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. most of the trauma was just the being separated from his family and his friends and his loved ones. And, you know, he's Rick Grimes and he's the hero of the show and he could never get away. He could never escape. And then he became resigned to the fact that he was never going to do that and mm-hmm. started forgetting what his son's face looked like or,
yeah.
you know, Michonne's face or...
I mean, and I think that this is probably why, I don't know, there might be multiple reasons why people didn't like this episode. But I think one reason could be, I don't know that many people know the amount of mental trauma that you have to go through to have to like actively forget about something.
Yeah.
So that
or something you care about and love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like that's a lot of mental trauma. So even if, you know, she comes back and she tells him about this son that he didn't know he had, like the amount of trauma that he has.
Yeah.
It's something that I think she didn't get at the beginning. And the fact that she, you know, kind of like realized that once
yeah.
she talks to him more and then tries to walk him through it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I like this episode so much, because if we want like a romantic story, we can get that in many other places. Like we've seen romance portrayed the same way multiple times
yeah.
in multiple media, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like in this episode, they showed like the raw emotions that come when you actually love someone.
Yeah.
It's not always like butterflies and puppies.
Right.
And sometimes you have to like walk through trauma together.
Yeah. Sometimes it's sorrow yeah. and hurt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And fighting and, you yeah. know, like, you know, trying to like rise above the fighting and forgive each other, and mm-hmm. it's just like so
that's
many
the
layers.
Uglier side. Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like maybe there's also a lot of people that just hoped, like, they'd just be reunited and it would be perfect and storybook right. and
like a rom com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Things aren't always like that, and you know, it makes perfect sense to me. A thing that I've thought about quite a bit, like, think of some of the worst trauma you can experience is a loved one passing away is mm-hmm, one of the hardest mm-hmm. things you can deal with, and people have to build up a survival wall around those emotions
yes.
because those emotions never truly fade away completely, but they're so strong and they're so powerful. People wouldn't be able to survive them if they didn't put up walls.
Exactly.
You know, but as we know about trauma, you can't keep, walls don't keep it in forever. Eventually, mm-hmm. the trauma mm-hmm. will start putting cracks in the wall and then a hole here and a hole there. And then yep. eventually the foundation crumbles. Wow, there's like I wonder if they should have put a crumbling thing in this.
Yeah, it seems like there was an analogy here. Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll do that next time, Aurora.
yeah, but I mean, you're absolutely right. And, you know, yeah. the fact that losing a loved one is hard enough already.
Yeah.
I cannot even begin to imagine what it is to lose your kid.
Yeah. I mean, and he was a person who had, he was the hero. I mean, you know, he doesn't think of himself as the hero of the show, but to us, he's the hero of the show.
Yeah.
But in his own mind, he had to give up a thing mm-hmm. he never had done, Like, exactly. He just never gives up. He always keeps fighting. And he had to do a thing that he's never had to do before, which was give up. And not just give up on anything. He had to give up on going back to his family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's a trauma worthy of putting an emotional barrier around, I can't think of many that are more likely than something like that. And when he was confronted, now granted, I'm sure he wanted to see Judith again and he wanted to see Michonne again. He started dreaming about her again. Mm-hmm. So of course mm-hmm. he wanted to see them, but it's one thing, you know, to have your dream, and it's another thing to see it happen in person. And all of a sudden it's in front of me. And now you are scared. You're scared of that trauma coming out. You're scared mm-hmm. of the effect that this might have. And Michonne doesn't know any of that. All she knows is that she's looking for her partner and the father of her child. And that's all mm-hmm. she is concentrating on. So they're coming at this from different perspectives, and they needed to kind of, you know, collide and go apart and then collide again. Like, they mm-hmm. needed to do this a couple of times in mm-hmm. order to eventually break down those barriers and Rick open up to her. And that's the other part of the equation, is when somebody's willing to break down their barriers for you, you should, mm-hmm. you know, try to be supportive or try to be caring and supporting for them. And when that happens, that's when healing happens. Exactly. And, you know, we see the result of that in the next episode, or mm-hmm. at least for a good part of the next episode. So, yeah, I thought this was a fantastic episode. Do you have any final thoughts? And even though I have a good feeling of what you're going to give this top five episode of Walking Dead all time for you, I'm still going to ask the question, what would you give it?
Sure. The only thing that I was going to add was that I saw like the episode Insider after mm-hmm. the episode. And that's where I realized that Danai was the one that wrote this episode.
Yes. Yep.
Which added a whole other layer for me loving this episode, because mm-hmm. the fact that the episode was written from the perspective of the actor that plays Michonne just adds even more like strength and context to what happened in the episode.
Yeah.
So I love that. And I did really like, it was a small scene, but there's a moment where Rick and Michonne are like going through walkers together, and he like pulls a knife or something of one of the walkers, and he sprays Michonne in the face.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, really?
Yeah.
I that made that was me funny. Laugh. So that's another reason why this is on my top five, because this episode had a very strong message. Mm-hmm. It made me laugh and it made me cry. Mm-hmm. Like, ugly cry. When that Carl scene happened, I was
so
like
good.
Bawling. So mm-hmm. I gave it a five.
Okay. I really love this episode too. I did struggle like at a couple points. I definitely struggled at that point with like Rick, where I'm like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm, before mm-hmm. I realized, okay. Yeah. Like before I realized exactly what it was that they were doing, but mm-hmm. they kind of led into that. But it did like drag for me sort of earlier in the episode. But I landed at a very, very strong 4.5. I thought this mm-hmm. was just a fantastic episode, and I cannot vouch for the themes that they covered in this enough. And mm-hmm. we should have more of this, especially for guys, because guys are notoriously really, 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 really bad at opening up about how they feel about things and being vulnerable with anybody. Mm-hmm. And you'd think here in 2024 we'd be getting better at it, and I think that we are, but it's still taking time. So the more mm-hmm, of this mm-hmm. we see in media, I feel like the better.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Okay, so let's talk about episode 5 called Become. We get some flashbacks. Jadis, going by her real name of Anne, visits Gabriel. Remember Gabe, Aurora?
I was so confused.
I know. I was like, wait, what's happening? The priest is back. She visits him once a year, privately admitting that while she's dedicated to the CRM's mission, she's conflicted about the lengths that the CRM goes to. Gabriel insists that Anne is still a good person, proven by her inability to kill him. In the present, making a stop to rest on their way to Alexandria, Rick and Michonne encounter a fight. They encounter and fight off a family of bandits and spend the night in Yellowstone National Park, where Jadis, having deduced their survival somehow, finds them. Jadis unsuccessfully tries to kill them and is badly wounded. She runs away and the couple goes after her in a car chase. Jadis then pulls the bandits into it, with Rick and Michonne being unable to kill Jadis due to the dossier that threatens Alexandria's safety. Jadis then reveals that Rick was slated to receive the Echelon briefing and move up in the ranks of the CRM, and reaches a deal where Rick will return to the CRM while Michonne can go home, but they double-cross each other and Jadis is fatally bitten by a walker in the fight. Jadis explains after losing her people, she decided to dedicate herself to a cause that seemed like it would last. Deciding to die as Anne rather than Jadis, she tells them where to find the dossier at the base and gives Rick the wedding ring that Gabriel had found for him. At her request, Rick shoots Anne. Rick gives Michonne the wedding ring, and they formally exchange vows. He and Michonne then decide to take Jadis' helicopter and return to the CRM to find the dossier and stop them once and for all, realizing that Anne is dead after she fails to show up to their yearly meeting. A heartbroken Gabriel crafts a makeshift grave marker for her. What did you think of episode 5?
Oof, I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
Because to me, I was on a high watching the previous episode. I was like, this is great. I'm loving this. And then we went into this episode and I was like, oh, I don't know about this.
Gabriel.
Mainly, so, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I totally do not remember that Gabriel and Anne had something.
Yeah. I did, but like... Like when they did the first reveal and she was there, I'm like, wait, did they? Didn't they?
Like, I was so confused. I was like, wait, what?
It was very vague, but I had a sense of it.
Yes. And I feel like the Walking Dead producers have a lot of faith on the memory of their fans.
Yeah.
And I don't know if all the fans of The Walking Dead remember every single detail, but I don't.
I don't know. I feel like, I think it depends on the fandom. I'm positive. I have, like, the worst imposter syndrome when it comes to The Walking Dead because I am a fan, even though it doesn't sound like I'm a fan because you think a fan would remember everything, but I'm a fan of so many things that I only have... I only have room... So, like, I watch everything Star Trek. I've seen all the new series. I've watched all the old series. I remember so much Star Trek stuff. It's kind of sad. I would say bordering on sad how much Star Trek stuff I know.
So I want to say sad.
I know a sad amount of Star Trek knowledge. And, you know, there's just not enough room in my brain for everything that's ever happened on the show that's lasted a long time. And its spinoffs that have also lasted quite a long time. And, yeah, I mean, I really love... Here's a good example. I really love... oh my God. See, this is so terrible. I don't even remember the name of the show with Jensen Ackles and
Supernatural. Yes.
I love Supernatural.
One of my favorite shows. Yeah.
I love Supernatural, but there's so many things I don't remember from the show because it was like 13 seasons.
Oh, yeah.
And
listen, I'm a huge Supernatural fan and I've watched Supernatural from start to finish. Like, I don't know if I should say how many times.
A sad amount of times.
It's a sad amount of times. And even when I rewatch it, there's some episodes that I'm like, I don't remember this.
Right. So for me, Walking Dead is just one of those shows that I really do like. I really do enjoy. I like watching For the most part, I've really enjoyed watching it, and I've loved doing the podcast about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mm-hmm. I just don't remember everything.
And no.
I only had vague recollections of Jadis yeah. and Gabriel.
So here's my question.
Okay.
If I am understanding the timeline correctly,
mm-hmm.
does this mean that Gabriel was cheating on Rosita?
It was only like a year ago, right?
Yeah, he was totally cheating on her.
I think so. Well, I mean, is it me or was the relationship kind of open? I don't remember. It felt like it was very
with
open.
With Rosita?
I thought maybe it was open.
I don't know. See, I don't remember.
I kind of remember it being open-ish. I thought there was like a two guys were sort of involved, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, that was my first thought. I was like, he's meeting a random woman in the woods.
What about Rosita? Wait, but didn't Rosita also die, though? So
She did.
Okay, but, so maybe this
but
was
if we,
after.
But if we look at the timeline, right? Because according to the episode, they were seeing each other every year at the same on the same date.
Oh.
Right?
Hmm.
And it went, it happened through a number of years.
Yeah.
So
maybe
at some
just,
point, it happened when he was with Rosita.
Maybe in the apocalypse, there's just a lot more polyamorous relationships happening.
I mean, I can see that happening.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, hey, why get attached? Like, people come and go, literally, yes, like they live and then true. They're dead the next day.
That, you know what? You're right.
A that's lot true. In this world. You got to learn to love and then move on.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was the first thing that I was kind of like, I don't know about this. The second thing was, and this has been kind of like my main issue with this storyline. Although I really loved the previous episode for what it was, I do have an issue with Rick and Michonne. They're now together. They're now trying to get back to Alexandria. But they're treating this as a road trip. You know, like a couple's road trip. They're staying in cabins. They're eating ramen noodles in random places.
Okay, hold on. Like, we got to stop for just a second because I need to shout out one of the best fake products ever. These ramen noodles that were called Tasteful Nudes.
Yes, that was great.
Oh, my. And they pointed it out and laughed about it in the episode. But, like, that was worth pointing out and laughing about in the episode.
Oh, 100%.
How is that not a real place? Because that's just an amazing name.
It's an amazing name.
Anyway,
I wonder if there was a writer that had a dream of opening a shop. And he was like, you know what? I'm just going to put it in the shop.
I always wanted to call it Tasteful Nudes. And they're like, what? You know, nudes, like noodles. And they're tasteful. Yeah. They're full of taste. But also, it's like a double entendre. I thought that was brilliant. I laughed.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
But they're acting as if they don't have children to go back to.
Kind of.
And listen, I understand, you know, as a parent, you know, having kind of like a vacation from your kids. I get it.
But they've been away for years.
Yes, they've been away from their kids for years.
Yeah.
I would be driving nonstop.
Straight zooming.
Until I get to see my kids.
Yeah.
Especially when she admitted in the previous episode that she doesn't know if Judith is okay.
Yeah.
Like, I would be, like, just, like, driving so fast to make sure that they're okay. Yeah. And they're just chilling.
I like.
Taking their time.
But it did open itself up for a couple of cute scenes. Like, they're
100%.
They're in this gift shop and they have like the license plates with the names on it. And he's he picks up a junior one and he's like, do you think this would be like cool for RJ? And she's like, nobody calls them junior. And also I hate those. And he's like, no Michonne ones, huh? And he's just like, not even once.
No,
and
no.
My favorite line was when she's like, maybe I'll get this for him. And she's got like a little hatchet. And he's like, mm-hmm. is he that guy? And she's like, Judith has a sword.
Right.
She's like, they're us.
Yeah, she was like, Judith is a badass.
Yeah. That was good stuff. I like
and
that.
And she is. Yeah. I did enjoy, you know, them going to the gift shop and to the cabin and all that, you know, fun stuff. It's just that in the back of my mind, I don't know if it's because I'm coming from with a different perspective, but I feel like I would be more of a hurry to get back to my dreams. Mm-hmm. And then with the situation with Jadis.
This is my biggest issue with the episode. Maybe I missed something. I'm pretty sure I didn't. I was sitting here looking at my screen the whole time, and I'm positive I was paying attention. But
what do you think you missed?
How she figured out they survived and how she figured out where they were.
So she said that when the CRM went to see the helicopter that crashed.
Yes.
She noticed on the street there was a yellow truck. And then she came back again and she didn't see it there. Uh-huh. And that's how she figured out that they probably survived.
Well, some buildings collapsed, Jadis. Maybe maybe one of the buildings crushed it.
Also, Rick and Michonne are not the only people in the world.
No! But even if she had that inkling of, like, maybe they... I mean, and look, maybe Jadis knows the same thing that we know, that these are the main characters of a TV show, and she's like, I bet they survived. They would. How would she track them to where they are?
She said that she was following all their ramen noodle packets.
Wait, is that what she said?
Yes.
Like breadcrumbs?
Yes. Yes.
I was just following all the tasteful nudes you guys left behind.
Exactly. You know what? It would have been better if she used that line.
You know what? I'm happy. I completely missed the explanation. I'm happy I have an explanation that makes me dislike this only slightly less. But the reasoning behind it is still completely bonkers. And
yeah,
you know, it's like she just so happened to be right. But anyone else, if she told this to anyone else, they'd think she's nuts.
100%. And if you see like ramen noodle packets opened,
that could be anything.
The zombie apocalypse, it could be anybody.
It could be anybody or anything. People are hungry. It could be animals. Like it could be anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was not satisfactory enough for me. But
she also said that she saw like all the walkers that were dead.
Okay, well, that, you know.
And she figured that they took care of them, but I was also like, you see dead walkers everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and look, if you're paranoid about it being Rick and Michonne, you know, if, you know, you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail to you. So mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, all of these things just look like Rick and Michonne, and she just so happened to be right. But if we're being realistic, you know, lots of people kill walkers out in this world, like you have to in order to survive. It really could have been anybody. But she got lucky, I guess. Her good intuition and luck.
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
I just feel like the fact that Jadis knew about Alexandria and has this dossier that has the information has been dragged out so much. And the fact that we went through last episode and there was a breakthrough to convince Rick to leave the CRM and come with Michonne to Alexandria. And then in this episode, they're like, Michonne is like, yeah, we have to go back. And I was like, what? She got out.
Yep.
this seems like, I don't know, a waste of time.
We got to go
everything
back.
Everything that we've done.
We got to go back in to get out. Oh. The thing that really, the question that popped up in my mind watching this at the end was if Jadis dies, then they're going to find the dossier and Rick is doomed and his family and his friends are all doomed. Mm-hmm. What if Jadis is just out on another mission and their helicopter crashes or she gets killed by friendly fire or a walker gets her completely unrelated? Rick is living his best CRM life, doing his CRM thing, not bothering anybody. She could have just died. You know, what if she had an aneurysm or something?
Also, what about this? What if she's lying about the dossier?
I also thought about that. What if it's bullshit? And that could happen. They could do all of this. They could go back into the CRM and then find out there was no dossier. Now, of course, she did tell them where it was at. So I presume it's real because she was dying. And if it was fake, I figured she would just say it was fake. But
Or, you know, maybe she's telling them it's in her room because she wants to, like, get them back so that they can, you know, get arrested or whatever or killed.
That's possible.
Yeah. And I also think that the whole time when they were in the CRM, Rick was like, we can't escape. Like, this is very very difficult place to escape. We cannot do it.
It's like impossible.
They have a stroke of luck that they are able to get out. And now they're like, yeah, let's get back. And I'm like, didn't you say that it was the most horrible place to escape from?
Now it's like, hey, sneak in, escape out, easy peasy, no problems. We're just going to a quick in and out.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they are going to try to squeeze everything into this last episode, but I really hope not. This feels like, to me, because they've made a big deal about this whole echelon protocol thing or whatever it is. And, you know, about what they're really doing or what the real plan is. And I have a feeling that whatever happens in this next episode, my gut feeling is that they're going to come close to doing the thing that they want to do when they discover whatever thing it is that the CRM is actually doing. And it is some other thing on some other level that would prompt them not completing what it is that they're doing and would essentially make room for like another season or whatever.
That's probably what's going to happen.
And I wonder if we're going to get some sort of, part of me feels like we're going to get some sort of big culmination event where maybe we reunite everybody. We reunite the Dead City people, Daryl, Michonne, and Rick, and the surviving rest of the cast of The Walking Dead maybe come together for like one last thing to either take down or change the CRM or something. I feel like maybe this is all sort of building to some sort, because everything has to build to some sort of Avengers movie, Aurora, because those movies made so much money, everybody else wants to copy that now. Yeah. So I have a feeling, and I'm not against this.
It went out a Walking Dead multiverse.
We can do that. Can you imagine? The CRM is working on some sort of like multiversal portal that opens up to a world where the zombie apocalypse never happened or something. You know, they open the portal and like Glenn walks out of the portal.
That will be amazing. You can imagine Glenn coming out of the portal and seeing Negan and Maggie working together.
Right.
It's going to be like, what happened?
Yeah.
But I mean, we don't have to go to alternate universes. Like, just the fact that
They could invent time.
Daryl is like in another country.
Yeah,
and Maggie and Negan are working together. That's already enough to blow Rick's mind.
Yeah, you know? How did Dale get to France? What?
Yeah. Yes.
Here for it. Negan and Maggie are doing what?
Yeah. Yes.
In New York? I've been gone way too long. I could totally see that. Somebody needs to fill Rick in on the rest of the canon after after he left.
Yep.
That whole other show.
Like everything that Morgan has done.
Yeah. Too. That'd be great. Yeah. Okay, so any final thoughts on episode 5 and what would you give it?
I just want this echelon briefing that they keep talking about. It seems that they are going to give this like insane information about what the CRM is doing, and they keep hinting that they're killing people around for whatever reason. And I just hope that it's something that like is so outrageous that just blows my. I hope it's aliens or something. You know what I mean?
Like
I want something like it's like, oh, what?
Yeah, like they're building a spaceship and we're gonna go live on another planet.
There's your Star Trek crossover.
Yes. maybe not opening a rift to another dimension, but like time travel, or inventing time travel to go back and stop the zombie
Doctor Who shows up.
Yes.
And like a crossover or something, I don't know.
Let's make it happen. I say throw caution to the wind on this, and like let's just be crazy and have fun. all right, so what would you give episode 5?
I give it a 4.
Okay, yeah, that's where I landed with this one too. Mm-hmm. I liked it. There's a lot to like in this episode. The the bandit family, I love when they pulled the guns on them. And they were just like, do you guys want to take this back? Or, you know, we can, it's not too late. We can pretend you never pulled the guns on us. Mm-hmm, and then they just completely disarm them. And then later, when Jadis sort of rolls them into this, and they have more weapons, I'm like, they don't have a chance against these two. And Rick and Michonne just beat the crap out of them easily again.
And that's the only thing that irked me about this episode, that Jadis the whole time has been like, you two together are a force to reckon with.
Yeah.
You two together could take down CRM.
Yeah.
Like, she knows how powerful they are.
Yeah.
And still, she went after them by herself.
Yeah. And she was still like, here, let me throw these, like, exhausted, starving, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy mountain people at you. Like, surely they'll stop. You know, she's like, goodbye, Rick. And I'm like, what? No. You know they're going to take those guys out.
Yep.
And they did. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Waste of time. but yeah, another solid episode as we are veering towards the final episode of what I presume will be just the first season of the show. I imagine that we will be getting more of the ones who lived. Besides, there's got to be more than just two who lived. It's the ones who lived. So there's got to be a lot more of them out there. I thought for sure we were going to see Gabriel die in this episode because I'm like, well, the show's over and he's not part of this show.
No.
So clearly, like, you know, they're going to, you know, something bad is going to happen. No, he's still around, I guess. So he's got to be here for that Avengers movie.
And I actually thought there was just a scene when they're in the cabin and you see like Jadis coming and she's just like a hooded figure.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that Gabriel?
Right.
Did he make it to freaking the show?
Everyone can just find them, it seems. Does GPS work again?
No, just follow the ramen noodle.
It just follows the tastefully nudes. just follow those tasteful nudes anywhere. Okay. So that's the podcast for this week, everybody. Head on over to cinemageekly.com where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, it's a listener-supported podcast. You can help us out there if you'd like. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly. Geeklymerch.com is the link to our merch store. Links for those can be found in the show notes for this episode. Also, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, anywhere you can find a good podcast. You can just search for Hear the Walking Dead, hit subscribe, and that way you can join us next time where we will talk about the season one finale of The Walking Dead, : The Ones Who Lived, episode 6, called The Last Time.